brother. If you will, let's turn to Acts chapter 8. Look at that Ethiopian eunuch. The Lord told us plainly to be lights in this community, didn't he? Pretty clear. He did. Well, if one heard. I read that, and that's such a blessing to me. I've been persecuted, and I know some other people have been persecuted, and it hurts until we see for his name's sake. What a privilege. I've had people in that office back there and on emails and on phone calls. Somebody offered to clean this church this week, so can we give you a quote on cleaning the church? And I said, well, there's only two families that clean it. And we take turns. It takes about 30 minutes. They weren't friendly after I told them no. We would come out, you want to drive 2 hours and make $20? I said, I'm saving you money. You need help running a business. You don't need a place to clean. They get mad. That's for Christ's sake. That makes it all right. That makes it good. And if it was for one, just one, if God smoothed the whole heaven and earth for one sinner to hear the gospel, he did right here in this text. There was a revival of one. I don't think that'll be my title. My title is The Seed of a Eunuch. If somebody knows what a eunuch is, that'll seem preposterous. But boy, we need that seed. Could call it a revival of one. Folks, that's what it is, getting that seed put in you. That's a revival. That's life-giving. This is a very popular story in the Scriptures, but maybe there's someone that hasn't heard this yet, or they've never seen Almighty God revealing and exalting Christ to a eunuch before. Maybe they don't know what a eunuch is. Maybe he'll give seed to a eunuch here tonight. There's people and there's things in this story I want you to watch out for. I was told at a young age in church, they'd say, now let's put on our thinking caps. Let's see if God will teach us something tonight. You see these characters, and I want you to pay attention to them as we go through them. There's Philip. That's an evangelist. That's the Lord's preacher. And then we're going to meet an Ethiopian eunuch. A sinner saved by grace. The Holy Spirit's involved in this. It's his work. We're going to see the Scriptures. Somebody read the Scriptures. Isaiah 53 was read. A message was preached. Everybody else would pay. One fellow paid attention. It's all that's needed. And there's a desert oasis. Certain waters where those that believed obeyed. There's obedience if God does a work in somebody. There's gritting of teeth, and don't you tell me what to do if there isn't a work of God done in somebody. The children of that father are obedient children. Glad to. We'll see how happy this is. This is a happy thing. This is a good pattern we can learn a lot from. This dead man was going to be given life. He's going to be given a new heart. He's going to be given sight for the first time, hearing ears. He's given saving faith. What's the means that is used to give this dead man life like this? The same as it was for me, the same as it was for those that believe God. It ain't no different. They didn't send him an email. He was reading the Holy Scriptures. Didn't do him no good. Somebody came, and like you just read, what did Christ do when he went to preach? He opened his mouth, one-on-one, in person. He talked, they heard. This is miraculous. Let's watch him work, okay? Verse 26, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem, for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. The angel of the Lord told Philip to head to the desert. Gaza was the desert. It was out in the boonies, still is. I've loved this story so much since I was little because I can relate to that eunuch so much. I can. And I'm so thankful the Lord's given me understanding to learn some things about Philip too. He's taught me more in this. Things I'd never experienced. I could read it. I hadn't lived it. And there's comfort in this. To be able to see the way that the Spirit moves, like the wind, in ways that I would never think to. The Lord's ways aren't our ways. He does things like I don't think He ought to do it. He does things the way you don't think it ought to be done. But He's going to do it anyway. That's what we're thankful for. What was just going on with Philip? Do you remember last week? Do you remember what just happened? We just went over this. There was a great revival in Samaria. The gospel's being received in great measure, greatly. There was a growing, successful work in Samaria. Well, why didn't Philip stay there? The angel of the Lord came to him, and he said, go. It's time to leave. Verse 27 says, and he arose and went. He did it. If you've ever experienced this, you'll see how sweet it is. Have you ever prayed, Lord, and whatever it is that you're doing, in business and in family matters and relationships with your neighbors and all those things, because we are a lot in this community and you want to do the right thing, you don't want to bring reproach on God, and you say, Lord, what is your will? What would you have me to do? And then the Lord answers so clearly, and you just have contentment in your heart, and nobody can tell you any different. You can try to talk somebody out of something, and the Lord's convinced me of it. I got peace. Years ago, we was moving to New Jersey, and we didn't know we was going to move to New Jersey. And when it was time, both of us, we're going to New Jersey. Everybody said, you crazy? Nobody retires and goes north. Against the best sales pitch I ever heard, Clay said, well, if you want to move here, you can. Taxes are high and things are expensive and people's rude and it gets real cold and there's snow all over the place and everything's expensive and taxes. And that's what we got to. He said, really? Okay. I had to. God commits. We prayed, Lord, what would you have us do? And it was just, he spoke loudly. It was as bright as a candle. This is what we got to do. If you've experienced it, that's precious. It's precious. I hope you do experience it sometime. For the eunuch's part, who was in Jerusalem? The apostles were there. Remember that verse where Saul came and everybody was scattered? Everybody was scattered save the apostles up in verse 1. But they weren't in the Jews' temple. That's where he had went. And they weren't part of the Jews' feast. And they weren't part of the Jews' Passover. You see? You see that? There's organized religion going on. That eunuch was going to the place where God was supposed to be. God's up there in a building somewhere, and I'm going to go meet him. God's with that particular people, and I'll go up there and get to know God. But the Lord's not in cities and buildings and things like that, are they? The Lord came to this man. He went to go find the Lord, and the Lord wasn't found. And then in the most undesirable and unsuspecting place, the Lord came to him. He didn't find God. God found him. You see that? He was on his way home. He'd done mission complete. I did the best I could. We worshiped God this weekend. Felt him just as empty as anything. And he was heading back home, 2,600 miles away. People want to hear the gospel, they'll go hear the gospel. That's just so. One time I was in Jacksonville, Florida, and I heard they had all-you-could-eat crab legs at Red Lobster down in Cocoa Beach, about 5 hours away. I drove to Cocoa Beach. Now, what do you think I think about snow crab legs? You think I like them? If somebody wants the gospel, they'll find it. They'll get to it. They'll hear where it is, and they'll go. They'll go there. But anyway, he was heading back home, just as empty. And the Lord dealt with him out in the middle of the desert. You know what he's dealing with? Pride of place. Recently, I heard a message of Brother Don. I've seen him in person do it on multiple places around this continent. He would discredit the very place he was preaching in. He would say how bad it was there, wherever he was preaching, and how good it was back where he was from. You know why he'd do that? He did it on purpose. Knowing those people were tied to a location more than the gospel. We like a gospel, but we want it where we are. If the Lord loves us, he's going to prove our love in us. He is. That's what he's going to do to this fella. He loved the Ethiopian. He only wanted to go to church up in Jerusalem. Really far away, but that's what he wanted. He was having things his way. So the Lord, in his time of love, and in his place that pleases him, he sends his preacher. Something else about this Ethiopian eunuch. He was mighty. Scripture there says, of great authority. He was intelligent. He didn't. He was the Secretary of Finance or whatever. He was Treasury Secretary for Ethiopia. He had some power. He had some prestige. He had a good cabinet of advisors with him. But he happened to be a eunuch. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. This was precious to me. You remember us looking at Naaman, that general? He was a great general of great respect, head of the army, joint chief of staff, who happened to be a leper. That things were tied together. That taught us something. We're lepers, ain't we? Remember Rahab? She had a title, harlot. We harlots. Remember that one that at our Lord's crucifixion that was saved? He was on a cross. He was a thief on the cross. Those names and conditions that teach us about us. We're the unclean one. We're the harlot. We're the thief. Well, what's a eunuch? Everybody knows about the Ethiopian eunuch. Well, what's a eunuch? Very simple. A eunuch was a castrated male that was allowed to serve in the palace. Now remember, he didn't serve a king. He served a queen, didn't he? That's what the Lord told us, that information on purpose. He was allowed to serve in that palace. He could be in there during the day when everybody was there, and he could be in there at night. He could be in there by himself. He could be an advisor to the queen that could be summoned day or night. If she didn't feel like coming out of her room, he could go into her bedchambers without worry to that queen, without worry to her family, without bringing any reproach on that crown. Why? How's that? There was no seed in that eunuch. He was castrated. There was no possibility. I hope you're with me on this. There's no possibility of him producing any life in himself. And there was truly no desire. He didn't want to. That's just so. Therefore, there's no danger of corrupting that crown, but also no possibility of him preserving his own DNA or his lineage or his seed. Right? Brothers and sisters of Adam, if I can get you in Christ, I got you in Adam. You hear me? That's us. This isn't just about a proud, mighty authority figure from Ethiopia that ends up getting baptized. This applies to me. That's how I come into this world. I had no ability of life. There's no seed in me. That's you. That's all of us. We need to pay attention to this, don't we? He went a long way to Jerusalem to worship. And now him and his entourage is heading back home, and he's reading the scriptures. He was reading the scriptures, and he went to worship because he said so. Well, you know what? The outside of his body, he has clothes on, all those things. He shows up. He looks fine, don't he? Everything on the outside's fine. The problem's on the inside, physically. And he's dead spiritually. Everything on the outside looks fine. He's breathing and walking and talking and moving his hands. But on the inside, there's no seed. There's no life. There's death. And he don't even know it, does he? How will he ever be saved and given life? Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, but God. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Go right up next to it. This man had danced to the tune of false religion a long time. But God, the Holy Spirit, sent a preacher to him. Everything in his life, learn how to read, being a eunuch physically. Everything in his life up to this point had prepared this eunuch, now stay with me, to hear from and to learn from the man that God sent to them. Well, I don't like Philip. Well, go on to hell then if you want. That's what God sent. This is gracious. This is a gift, isn't it? Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. He didn't lollygag. He went. The Lord said go, and he went. He ran. He had a race. Remember us looking at that? And he heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You come here and sit with me. These are comfy seats. That chariot was designed for this preaching of the gospel. This man was teachable. You get that? How would I treat someone if I was, like number two in command of a country, right? I hold the purse strings. Pretty rich. I own all of Ethiopia. And some stranger came up, and I was being very religious. I was reading out loud, so people could hear. And I got my these and thines and all those things squared away good. And some stranger came. I'm in a chariot. He's on foot. You ain't even got a horse. You ain't even got a donkey to ride. You're on foot. You're nothing. And they came up to me. I have the best advisors. I was so learned. I was so accomplished. I had so much authority. I thought of me. Would I sincerely ask and politely request for a stranger to guide me? Would I? This man did, because God's working in him. Or would I run him off and ignore him in his low estate and say, get out of here. Oh, you're younger than I am. Go away. Your clothes ain't as nice as mine. Get out of here. You don't know as much as I did. I've been doing this for 55 years. Now get out of here. He said, guide me. You know the exact same translation as that? Obey them that have the rule over you. Obey them that have the guide over you, for they watch for your souls. He said, would you come up and preach to me? I'm a sheep without a shepherd. Somebody needs to teach me. He didn't say get up here so I can instruct you, Philip. Now, Philip, I think you're going to make an evangelist one day if you give me about 6 months with you. I got a training regime. I need you to read these things and listen to these messages and write this down and practice this other language. He said, you teach me. Have we ever had that spirit where God sent a man and we didn't instruct the fellow, but we said, you should instruct us? Have we had that spirit yet? This one fella in the whole convoy did. And it was God's fella. A certain fella. God had begun softening the soils of this man's heart with water. And he's about to plow it. And he's going to use Philip just to throw the seed in there. And then God's going to give the increase to. Verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, he was humiliated. In his humiliation, it was his judgment was taken away. Satisfaction. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from earth. He's risen. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, please, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Who's Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? What's that? That ain't pretend. That's sincere interest. Now that says something and God said it and I want to know what he means. And I don't know. Boy, that's something. If God enlightens us to where we don't know nothing, we grow down, don't we? And here's somebody with sincere interest, a pupil, and that means go make disciples of them, go make pupils. And a teacher, equipped of God to tell them. And there's a student, there's a teacher, and encompassing all this is the greatest lesson of all to be learned. The only lesson to be learned. The Lord has to give a man the voice, and the Lord has to give a word from himself to a man to preach. But if the Lord equips somebody, if he's pleased to gift a man with a voice out in the desert, he's going to give somebody ears to hear him. That's just so. I know some people that want to preach, and they get there in their living rooms, and ain't nobody going to listen to them. Nobody cares to listen to them. Well, Lord ain't gave nobody to have ears. It ain't for you. And there's some people that's real reluctant that don't want to. Like, I'm good at doing other stuff. The Lord gives people ears to hear them. Lord, put these two together. Who gets the glory for all that? Who gets the glory for having ears? And who gets the glory for just being a mouthpiece? Who gets the glory for having this text to read? The Lord gets glory in all of it, doesn't he? Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, just like the Lord opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, the words mean things. This is an unpopular topic. And it's just going to have to get more unpopular. Philip did not explain Christ to him. He preached Christ to him. He did not debate the cause of Christ to him. He declared Christ to him. He didn't present an idea. Here's the principle of indwelling sin or original sin. He proclaimed, he said, all flesh is grass. Behold your God. From that very text that the man was reading when he walked up. You imagine that? Let's turn back to Isaiah 53 and look at it. Isaiah 53. I just imagine if the Lord made a text obvious and said, I had to preach from it. I thought, what would Philip do? There's a whole lot of miles. We don't know how many miles took place. It was in a chariot. They wasn't even just in the same room. It was close. Sitting right next to each other. He didn't just look at him and go, Jesus, did he? He preached Christ to him. And he said, now see where you was reading? Now let's back up a little bit from there, okay? Let's get the context of what you're reading. You're getting the cart before the horse. Now hold on now. You think you can do this by yourself? Let's back up some, see what God was saying. Let's back up some too. Let's go back to verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Isaiah crying out, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, there's one in a chariot on the way to Ethiopia. One. That's enough. It's real important if you're that one, isn't it? Real important. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In the flesh, the Godhead was manifest in a body. And that body wasn't tremendously handsome, 6'3" with blonde hair and a perfect smile. We would pay no mind to him. And go find a homeless person down there on Hammershaw. You draw your purse up away from him, don't you? That's what he looked like. He was despised, verse 3, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, just like us. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He went to that cross. Philip could have been a disciple while Christ walked to earth. He went to that cross, and Philip said, that was me. He suffered and died alone, and it's my fault he's on that cross, and I wasn't there to help him. He did it by himself. I chickened out. I ain't nothing. I ain't faithful. He's the faithful one. He's telling him from experience. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was nailed to that cross. We said, what's going to go on now? We thought he's going to raise up a physical kingdom here. What happened? Is it all over? But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. What part of that do we have? All we like sheep gone astray. We didn't accept him. We didn't sort him out. He wasn't lost and we found him. We was the one that was lost. Preaching ain't changed none. The head harlot in town might look different, be taller, shorter, louder, quieter, or whatever. Disposition might be a little bit different. But the message ain't changed one lick. All we like sheep gone astray. And we've turned everyone to his own way. I had the way of destruction. I had the way of death. I was doing it my way. Christ is the way. And the Lord laid on him, while we were yet sinners, while we were in rebellion, while we were at war with him, God, the Lord, laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Why didn't he defend himself? He bore our guilt. Explain that. Ain't nobody can, and if they think they can, run from them. That's the Lord's business. I can't do that. Mankind can't do that. I can take somebody's, I can pay their bills. I can maybe go to jail for you in another country or something. I can't take somebody's guilt. God can. And he did it. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and he was as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. There was substitution that took place, and there was satisfaction. You needed a substitute, eunuch. You ain't got no seed in you. Somebody had to go live for you and die for you and then put that incorruptible seed of theirs in you and give you their righteousness. And God's got to be satisfied with it. And I'm sure Philip probably too, could have been there a long time, that he compared Scripture with Scripture, didn't he? Philip probably said, you remember back in Genesis 22? Abraham and his son Isaac, they was going up that mountain, and the boy said, Daddy, we got fire and we have wood, but where's the lamb? You remember that eunuch? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, for an acceptable sacrifice. The Lord will provide. I hear it all the time in a lot of different situations, in a lot of different places in this, in daily life. People say, well, Lord provide. Well, Lord provide. Okay, what's he going to provide? We say it, what we mean by it. Mankind says that. People at the school of gas station said, Lord provide. All right, what's he going to provide? Everyone's so concerned about food and money and shelter and employment and the Mercedes Benz, whatever. Well, if that's provided, God provided that too. But here's the important thing. This is the making of eternal life. The Lamb of life is the Lamb God provided. It's himself. The Lamb's Christ. Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord our righteousness, is provided by Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you with wicked hands have slew. God did it. We're at fault. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He ain't going to see your seed, eunuch. You ain't got no seed. He's going to see his seed. He's going to see Christ. And he shall prolong his days, eternal life. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul. He's going to see that payment. And he's going to be satisfied. That lamb was a substitute, and the Father satisfied because he's the one that provided it. That's what we need. Can I have that seed? I ain't got no seed. You need seed? You need life in you? You need a new creation? That's what we need, isn't it? By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. We lived in him, eunuch, and being made one of us. He was made sin for us, and he bled and died for us, and we were punished in him. And we died in him. And he arose, and we arose. We're risen with him. And Philip probably kept going, didn't he? While he walked this earth, he told him all the words that Christ spoke on this earth. Christ said, you go out and preach to every creature. And if those that believe, they baptize them. And he said, and teach them. And tell them all the things I said. What did he say? He gave us ordinances, didn't he? He said, this here's my body. It's broken for you. Take, eat. Eat it. It's my blood. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is shed for you. Drink it. He said, that's the baptismal waters. I was baptized. I gave you the example. I told you to do it, and I did it. And that shows that you're buried with me in death, and you're risen with me in satisfaction. You're saying the Father's satisfied. The Father's satisfied, and we'll be made fully like Christ one day. Verse 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's what he's doing right now. So we're with him. Philip didn't preach about Christ. Philip preached Christ. I thought a lot about that. I was going to give you a bullet point checklist to tell you the difference between preaching about Christ and preaching Christ, but I ain't going to do that. I can tell the difference. And the child of God can tell the difference. They might not be able to give you a bulletproof, a bullet list, a checklist as to what the difference is, but a child of God can say, they told me a lot of things, but eh. And then the child of God can say, that's Christ. They didn't tell me about Christ. They preached Christ. They declared him. They can. Why? They know the shepherd's voice. They're the sheep. They're that stray sheep. And I know that voice. And they follow him. They follow him. Now back in our text. Acts chapter 8. I'm not too far. Acts chapter 8. Remember the characters here? And the things involved. There was a sinner. There was a preacher. There was the word. There was the message. There was the Spirit. All this is in vain unless the Lord sends us and the Lord's doing it. Except he builds the house, we're swinging hammers at nothing. As Paul said, we're shadow boxing. And there was a response. A response. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He knew something about baptism. How? Well, the Lord told him to go preach. He said in Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, the rich, the poor, the wise, the unwise, black, white, male, female. It don't make a difference. Gay, straight, as such were some of you. He said, you go preach to everybody. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He didn't say he that believeth not and him that ain't baptized be damned. But he gave that command, didn't he? Why would a person be baptized after seeing Christ for the first time? Well, he said to, and we want to, don't we? When we see him the first time, we might have been baptized 45 times before that, but when we see Christ, Peter said it this way. He was talking about baptism, and he said that it saves us, baptism. He said, he's not talking about putting away the filth of the flesh. We're not talking about that. He said, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. That sure will make your day a lot better because God said so. And we want to. We want to declare him. True spiritual sight is not just seeing the right doctrine that line up with the scriptures. Well, so there's a systematic theology, and according to this, legally, yes, that makes the most sense. And that must be right. And I found it. That's what's behind it. If it's unsaid, that's what's unsaid. It's not just picking something that lines up right. It's seeing Christ. It's not just a religious event. It's not just a moral obligation that we ought to go to church or we ought to do this. It's seeing a person and loving that person. They're going to be love. And you have to have them. Now, we prefer to do it in air conditioning with electricity and running water and clean medicine and all those things, all those nice conveniences we have. But that's my wife. Now, if that's in the jungles of the Amazon with nothing, no shoes, or that's in the penthouse up in New York City, that's my wife. Now, if he's our husband, he's our husband, sickness and health, good providence or bad providence, rich or poor, it don't make a difference. We have him. We have a person. If that's in Hawaii, that's great. And if that's in Piedmont, North Dakota, okay. I made a living shoveling snow before. Good for the kids. They get strong, won't they? It's a person. What hinders any person from observing the Lord's table or being baptized? What's the requirement to be obedient? Look here, verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, what's all your heart? Eunuch, he's going to tell you, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God. That's God. That lamb, that's God. And my substitute's God. And God's satisfied with the lamb that he provided, and I needed one. I didn't have no seed. And he's put that incorruptible seed in me. I'm going to profess him. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Who was in charge of the convoy? This guy. Don't forget that. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. The Lord doubles down on that. And he baptized him. What was that? Well, where are they? They're in the middle of the desert. A barren land. And here's an oasis. You ever drive up Sacramento? Halfway between LA and Sacramento, there's a big Tesla supercharger station, right? Why? So you can stop and charge. I guess some cars probably run out of gas or electricity, volts, whatever it is, before they get to, right? And there's an in and out there, and there's a regular gas station for us regular folks, us old-fashioned folks. And that place is busy. Do you know that? How busy you reckon this oasis was in the middle of the desert? I tell you, if there wasn't nobody else there, I'll tell you who was there, the people in that convoy. There were people that respected this eunuch. There were people that took orders from this eunuch. And that eunuch had some shoeless fella come up, didn't even own a horse, and he just preached to him, and now that guy's getting down in the water with him, and he's baptized him. That's embarrassing. What's Joe down at the water cooler going to think? Who cares? He's professing his Lord. Don't matter who's there. Well, you're old. You've done this before. People's going to say you wasn't saved before. I don't care about me. I care about him. You see the difference? It's not my image. It's professing Christ. My husband. I want people to know that's my wife. They might think I'm rich or something. How'd he get her, huh? Now, watching the Spirit move like the wind. We feel it, but we can't tell where it's coming or where it's going. What would you think that Philip and this unnamed eunuch would do? The Lord just saved him. Well, I bet they'd head down to Ethiopia, boy, and they'll open up a big old fancy church, and they'll get to preaching, and the Lord's going to save a bunch of people. No. Verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. That the eunuch saw him no more. Never saw him again. What'd that eunuch do? God did it. He knew. He didn't know it before. He'd have been upset. He'd be like, wait a second. I tell people when to come and go. He said, ah, Lord's on his throne. Lord did this. This is the Lord's doing. And he went on his way rejoicing. There was a profession and there was happiness. There was contentment. There was joy. They were happy about that because he had something to be happy over. He was lifeless before and he didn't know it until he had life in him. He thought he was doing okay until God gave him sight. And he said, this is all a sham my whole life. It's all for nothing. It's not that all those things were wrong. I'm wrong. And that Lord's gave me life. He did it all. And he's happy. I've seen people at conferences and other places, visitors come in. One of my friends come in one time from the Army. And he said, boy, everybody here seems awful happy. That broke my heart. Why ain't you happy? Because God ain't put joy in you yet. Well, how's he going to do it? Well, I'm going to preach to him. What are we going to do next week? Well, let's preach to him. Let's keep doing it. Don't put a time stamp on God. Sometimes he'll take 30, 40 years. He'll wake him up one day. Philip went on somewhere else, someone else. It was needed. What, another town, another lost sheep was out there. Look at verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. This eunuch went on his way rejoicing because he had something to rejoice about, isn't it? Sometimes these evangelists are used to plant one seed and then they go off. That's what I'm charged to do. Paul told Timothy plainly, he said, you do the work of an evangelist. Do it. That's all my duties. I wonder what happened then, or what's still happening. We have an Ethiopic version of the Bible, a text, original text. I wonder what's still happening in Ethiopia. The Lord's working in Malawi, isn't he? I wonder what's happening there now. 50 years ago, when evangelists came through a place back in eastern Kentucky, a little podunk place that was a steel mill town, wasn't nothing there, and planted a seed and kept on trucking. And you know what happened? 70 years ago. I'm here preaching to you now because of it. I'm here today. Spirit brought me here for now to preach to you, to bring a word. Isn't that amazing? We watched him work. Now we get frustrated when the Lord don't do it our way? Or do we praise him for his will, his way, not ours? That's what we do, don't we? I'm thankful. You thankful? I am. I'm rejoicing. How about you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this eunuch. That's us. Lord, what a gospel you've given us. And what a redeemer. The Lamb that you provided, our great King, and our God. Make us rejoice in heart, Lord. Work in your people. Give them faith and make us like Christ. Thank you for promising these things. Thank you for giving us eyes to see him and ears to hear. Thanks for sending a man to me and to these people to preach to us, to declare us of a person, and exalt him. It's for his name's sake, Lord, we gather and ask these things. Amen.